Colleen, and this is Melissa, and we're both from Pets on Cue. This week is Deaf Dog Awareness Week, so we are celebrating our deaf dogs, or my, Charlie. I guess, deaf dog, Charlie. And we're also going to be talking to Natalie of Hot Mess Pooches today, but Melissa and I are going to kind of dive in and talk about deaf dogs, specifically this guy.
Tim Charlie Mark. Is the first deaf dog I ever knew as an adult that I actually saw, like actually living his life just regularly. Like I never really thought about deaf dogs. And I personally, if I had known of a deaf dog, like I wouldn't have necessarily sought it out to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when I got him, I was still grieving the loss of the last dog. So I kind of wasn't in the mindset and thinking kind of, I would say clearly, I was very emotional.
Well, yeah, you just lost and, your other dog.
Yeah, and I didn't like go to the shelter even. They didn't know he was deaf. I mean, I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to dogs. And the only thing that I kind of looked at the website was that this is a deaf young. They thought he was 6 months old. He was a little bit older, but I wasn't like, I'm going to get this dog. I knew I needed to test him for deafness because I saw in the thing that he had four homes. He was deemed uncontrollable. He's talking behind me. This uncontrollable dog. No one could handle him. And I kind of was like, ooh, I like crazy. Yes, I do. I know.
But you didn't know he was deaf and they hadn't tested him to see if he was deaf.
No, they hadn't tested him. No one knew. When I got there, they pulled him out to a little area with two of the workers because he was that crazy that they needed to have two people with him.
Oh my gosh.
And no one could control this dog. He was off. He was like, oh, he's, if you've ever been around a Dalmatian outside of like this guy, they're just one of the hardest dog breeds to own. They're in the top five most difficult dogs to own. They're really stubborn, super high energy, super intelligent dog.
But he was beyond that because nobody could understand him. And he had basically been living alone with nobody able to communicate with him.
Yeah. So he had four owners before I got there and did like a clap behind. Sorry if that was really loud. I did this clap behind his ear. I kind of tested him with snaps behind his ears.
And nothing. And,
yeah, and nothing. And then there was this one thing and I was like, oh, this dog is deaf. If I knew he was deaf going up, I don't know if I would have gone to the shelter to look at him. Like it's kind of a,
sure,
it's
I a mean,
sad thing to like, I don't know what I would have done because I just had no idea. And I was just having a really busy work day, but like my emotions just kind of took over with seeing this puppy's face sitting in the shelter and he looks so sad. Yes, I hear you. I know we're talking about you.
Charlie will be heard. He may not be able to hear, but he will be heard.
Yes. Today we have with us Natalie from Hot Mess Pooches.
Hi, Natalie.
Hello. I am Natalie Freshour, director and president and founder of Hot Mess Pooches Rescue and Sanctuary. We are a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to helping Dalmatians and special needs dogs, with a focus on deaf dogs and dogs who are vision impaired.
Ah, how many dogs do you have now?
Okay, well, I literally just got home with another one. So the number changes pretty much daily. Typically, we're in the 40 to 50 range.
Okay.
It's like real life, almost 101 Dalmatians.
Pretty
seriously,
close.
Seriously, you're a busy lady.
Okay.
I love that.
So for Deaf Dog Awareness Week, I think the biggest question that people have is, what is the difference between a deaf dog and a regular dog, and how do you tell?
They're very similar. Dogs don't communicate verbally nearly as much as humans do, so it's actually much easier for dogs to learn with visual cues and things like that. Dogs pay more attention to facial expressions, body postures, and actions than they do what we're saying. So it's actually pretty easy for dogs to be deaf. But humans are very verbal. So it's very, you know, unless you have a deaf dog, it seems like a pretty strange thing. But for dogs, it's easy. For humans, it takes a little bit of adjustment. But if you learn how to speak dog, then it's really not much different at all.
I speak dog better than I speak human.
I would say that
you're telling me.
Totally, totally do. Now, Natalie, I told Colleen this before you got on, but I never would have thought about adopting a deaf dog. I wouldn't have it wouldn't have necessarily been a deterrent, but it definitely would have been something that I would have sought out. And I've had a three-legged dog before. My dog that actually just passed away was a three-legged dog. And so I'm all about dogs that are disabled. But seeing Colleen with Charlie now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would have a deaf dog any day of the week. Like, I would absolutely adopt a deaf dog in a heartbeat, like, for sure.
You know, sometimes I prefer deaf dogs because I can sneak to the freezer at 2 a.m. and get out my pint of ice cream and nobody wakes up until one of the hearing dogs wakes up. And then I'm like, no. but and you don't have to worry about July 4th or you don't have to worry about thunderstorms. There's actually a lot of really good things about having deaf dogs. They are very, and they're very in tune to their people because they have to watch you for everything.
Right. All day he'll sit here talking to me and do that stuff. What Melissa said before is that she probably wouldn't have sought out having a deaf dog, but what are the fears that you find people have before they would get a deaf dog? I mean, I had them. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are afraid that dogs are going to run out the door and then you can't call them, or people are afraid of startle reactions, things like that. And I think, like I said, because humans are so verbal and we communicate verbally so much, it's really hard for us to wrap our heads around having to communicate visually. Sorry, I have a dog trying to get in my lap. I think it's part of people just don't understand. And then I feel like people also, you know, are looking for a perfect dog or a perfect companion. And they think that, oh, with a deaf dog, you're going to have to put more time and effort and, you know, work into that dog. And unfortunately, people want dogs that are just like, here, they popped out perfect and now I don't have to put anything into them, which the reality is you need to do the same training and socialization and exercise with a hearing dog that you would a deaf dog.
Right. Well, when you're looking at prospective adopters that are now getting a deaf dog, what do you look for as a criteria in the humans that are coming into this relationship?
So I primarily look at their willingness to go to training with their dogs, keep their dog on leash or in a fenced in area. You know, that's really, and all of that is stuff that I would do.
Right, you do that anyway. Okay.
Yeah. So people come to me looking specifically for deaf dogs because they know that that's what I do. Mm. And they want to give a dog that is less adoptable a chance. So the people who want to adopt deaf dogs just kind of find me.
Okay.
I'm one of them. How easy is it? So for me, when I got him, I knew that Dalmatians were prone to deafness, so I tested. But how do you easily tell if a dog is deaf or not?
So that's going to be their reaction while sleeping, because dogs are social learners. So if you have dogs and with other dogs, it's pretty easy for a deaf dog to kind of mask that they're deaf, because they'll get up and respond if there's a hearing dog that responds. So you have to get that dog alone. And one of the things I do, I'll listen to loud music or I'll come in and make a lot of noise. I'm kind of a noisy person, so I kind of figure my deaf dogs are lucky that they're deaf. And so I really look for the, like, okay, you're dead asleep and you're not responding to me, so there's a good chance that you're probably hearing impaired. You know, a lot of, well, actually every reputable Dalmatian breeder will bear test their dog to see if they're deaf, either unilaterally or bilaterally. So a lot of times I get dogs that we know are deaf because they've been bear tested. And then a lot of them, you know, okay, actually the dog I picked up today, she lived on a rope tied to a tree for her entire life. And she's about a year and a half. And the owner came in and dropped her off to animal services and said, this is a dumb dog. She doesn't listen to me. Well, actually he was just a dumb person and didn't realize his dog was deaf.
That was on his report too, that he was dumb and he didn't listen to me.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'm like, this is honestly one of the most intelligent dogs I've ever met.
So smart. Real quick, what is, when you were talking about breeders doing a specific kind of testing, I think you said bear testing. I don't know what that is.
Brain auditory electrical response.
Okay. So it's like, okay. Okay.
And it's actually, they put electrodes on the puppies and measure if there's brain activity anytime there's a sound introduced.
Oh, wow. So it's like a real good
test. Yeah, a real test.
Security.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
And it's common in a lot of breeds for breeders or people that know those breeds to get the dogs tested. So Natalie, what are all the breeds that tend to have bear testing top of their list? Like Dalmatian, when I think of deafness, Dalmatian is top of the list, and then it goes down.
Absolutely. So, you know, Dalmatians are pretty much the only breed that I can think of that deafness is just kind of a crapshoot. A lot of the other breeds, it's from irresponsible breeding. So with Great Danes, if you breed the appropriate colors, then you're less likely to have a double merle, and the double merle gene is what causes deafness. So the other dogs that we see a lot of deafness in, obviously Great Danes, Australian Shepherds, the dog I picked up today is Border Collie, Dachshunds, Catahoulas. But a lot of those breeds, deafness can be prevented just if people are responsible about the colors that they're breeding and not breeding for, oh, this is a Harlequin and we're going to breed it to another Harlequin Great Dane and make more money off these puppies, because then the puppies will be white and white dogs are typically deaf.
Got you. Now, what about dogs? Now, because we're talking more about like these genetic, you know, predispositions for deafness. But what about just your average run-of-the-mill dog that is maybe going deaf, you know, for whatever reason, from age or for other factors? Like, how do you spot those signs?
So, whenever a dog is born deaf, they adjust. I mean, they don't know any different. So.
Right.
If I get a dog in that has had chronic ear infections and they have lost their hearing over time, or senior dogs that have lost their hearing over time, those dogs actually do tend to startle a lot more than dogs who are born deaf.
Okay.
Just because they're used to having that sense there, and then you take the sense away and it's harder for them to acclimate to it. So that's really the biggest thing, is that it's just a little bit harder for dogs who lose their hearing to adjust. Deaf dogs who are born that way typically are pretty well adjusted.
Yeah, I would say that if you see that they're losing their hearing, to start associating signs with the words. And dogs will actually learn that much quicker than humans will. So like, sit, you know.
Now, if your dog is losing its hearing from, like, say, chronic ear infections, medically, is there anything you can do to improve their hearing or fix it? Are there any kind, I don't know.
So that's something that you would have to address with your vet.
Okay.
Obviously, even, you know, older humans lose their hearing and lose their vision. So as mm-hmm. they age, there's not a whole lot. By preventing ear infections, keeping ears clean, and using appropriate mm-hmm. medications, you can help prevent ear infections. But that's something that you have to be kind of proactive and talk to your vet about. But like Colleen said, you know, the more you can associate signs, and I do this with a lot of my hearing clients because I also train dogs professionally. So a lot of times, especially now that so many people have to wear masks everywhere we go and we cannot verbalize how we're used to verbalizing, I mm-hmm. have started having my clients associate signs and thumbs up with words whenever training their dogs. That way it's easier for us to communicate with mm-hmm. them, and that's kind of it's been an easy thing for me to get used to because I'm so used to it with the deaf dogs, and now I'm trying to encourage my clients, hey, your dogs can't hear you as well, they can't pay attention to your facial expressions, mm-hmm. let's use some signs, and that way we can communicate appropriately with your dog.
And I think dogs overall, they respond to your body language, your facial expressions, and
your energy.
Yeah, they're just like, he's constantly looking at me for what to do, right? Like, mm-hmm. he is. And I just think that, like, when I taught him no biting, it was more so like, I have to have the frown on my face and look super over the top angry. to get him to stop doing it. But I feel like overall, a hearing dog reacts to that better than you shouting at them. They don't,
for sure.
Some of their moms and dads in the dog world teach them, like, when a puppy does something wrong, the mom grabs them by the neck and puts them in a different location that to have them calm down. So it's,
right.
It's totally different. They're not barking at them and yelling at them to stop. But it's not how they learn naturally. So,
well, so Natalie, what do you do for Deaf Dog Awareness Week, or do you do anything?
You know, honestly, I'll do like deaf dog videos and things like that. Mm-hmm. But my whole goal in life is to teach people about deaf dogs, educate people on what it's like to live with deaf dogs. So I don't do this, you know, a week, a year. I do this 365 days.
Right.
So, for sure. I mean, I literally have a billboard on my body. I'm tattooed in my dogs, and people ask me, okay, what is this? Obviously you like dogs. And it gives me an opportunity to say, yeah, hey, I actually rescue deaf dogs. Let me tell you their stories. Let me tell you why I get these dogs. Let me tell you how awesome they are. So it's not just like, I celebrate it once a year for a week a year. It's a,
right.
It's a life,
all
you
the
know,
time.
I'm always telling people about my deaf dogs and how awesome they are. And we go out in public and I let people pet them and touch them. And then I go, oh yeah, by the way, they're deaf. And people go, oh, what? I would have never expected that. And then of course, everyone wants to test. Like, oh, they try calling them and whistling, and my deaf dogs are like, do, I don't care. Like, nothing's there. I don't hear it. So
I always get that. I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry. He's living a good life. He's fine. He likes being deaf. He doesn't have to hear my singing. We're good.
That's exactly what I say all the time. I'm like, I'm sure my hearing dogs wish they were deaf too, because I am not a good singer.
That is hilarious.
We're the same. I mean, I think there's so much with like getting a deaf dog that we, oops, sorry, Eric. Sorry. I got caught on it. That we definitely didn't touch on. I know that you were kind of talking about, you know, the things that you look for in a deaf dog. And I definitely noticed that when you come home from work, if your dog doesn't come running to meet you at the door, chances are they're deaf. Yeah. Or like they don't freak out at the thunderstorms when they're young. They don't really come when you're called, or you think they're a little dumb. It's because they can't hear you. So maybe just try something different and maybe do a test or bring them to the vet and have the vet should be testing. Vets should know that stuff. But also overall, I think there are like 10 times more benefits to having a deaf dog. Like what you said, sneaking in the middle of the night and getting ice cream. I mean, I'm guilty. And I love coming home from work and opening up the door and the dog doesn't like bombard me. Like I can put my stuff down. I have a nice, relaxing welcome into my house. And then I wake him up and he comes and he's just all happy at that time when I'm ready for it.
Yep.
It's really nice.
What kind of training is there for people specifically with deaf dogs to learn to communicate and train their dogs? Is there deaf dog training out there available?
So if you look around, you'll definitely find trainers who have experience training deaf dogs. And then you'll have people who specialize in different things. So anytime I'm in the Houston area, and anytime somebody, another trainer, you know, is asked about training a deaf dog, they send their dogs to me. And it's not so much training the deaf dog, but it's training the deaf dog owner on how to communicate with them. But like I said, for me, it's a lot of the same things that I do with my hearing dog clients. And I also go out of my way to try to train other trainers on how to work with deaf dogs, or to do Skype sessions or Zoom sessions, where if you're not sure how you should be handling a situation with a deaf dog, or what you can do to tweak your training to be more successful with deaf dogs, I'm more than happy to help out with other trainers and things like that. But a lot of trainers out there really do have experience with this, and they're successful with training deaf dogs. In fact, if you look at any of the other rescues in the area all over the country who work with special needs dogs, most of the people who run those rescues have a background in dog training or dog behavior, because we get so many dogs in that people have failed, and we have to help, you know, train them properly, socialize them properly, and then work with them. So I actually offer lifelong behavior support for every single dog that I adopt out, whether that dog is in California or Boston. If you say, hey, I have, you know, the dog I adopted is having behavior issues, I have to be able to, you know, do a Skype session and say, here, this is what's going on. This is what you need to do to change it. And like I said, a lot of other directors or presidents of deaf dog rescues have backgrounds in training. And if you find yourself with a deaf dog, you can reach out to them and they can help find you a deaf dog trainer in your area.
Training a deaf dog for a trainer isn't that difficult, because I think most trainers are so in tune with the dog body language and dog personalities and all that. So it's not as hard with the trainers as opposed to the, it's like completely changing how the owners think and how they need to communicate, as opposed to like exactly what you said is, yeah.
It's always the human that needs the training.
Oh, yeah.
I need a lot of training.
Like, I'm a talker, but I talk a lot with my hands too. So it was just like getting, and he's going to start barking at me now. So I think whenever I start doing that, he,
Atticus just looks at me like, I don't know what's going on right now. And he turns around and leaves. Like, that woman's crazy.
I mean, aren't we all?
Exactly.
Yeah. Dalmatian people are definitely different than other dog breed people.
Yeah. I would, you kind of, I definitely categorize people based on the breeds that they get. Like, I've had mutts, I've had, you know, everything, but like Dalmatian definitely suits me because I'm a little off, crazy, whatever you want to say, I think. You know, if you're not a little bit weird, you're kind of boring, right?
There it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I have other breeds too. You know, I have Great Danes, I have an American Bully, a Mini Aussie, Italian Greyhounds, I have a Pharaoh Hound, but I definitely identify as a Dalmatian person. Actually, obviously, I'm working on my spots to be the official Dalmatian lady. But yeah, it's definitely interesting to see people and their breeds and you know, their dedication to a certain breed. It's pretty neat.
Awesome. Can you make sure you give a plug for yourself and all the ways people can reach you and your shelter and everything, so we can make sure we get that on
camera? And donate, because it's Deaf Dog Awareness.
Yeah, so just
be like, you want me to kick it off and say like, donate to Natalie? You
know? Yeah. Let's do that. I just want to make sure we get all Natalie's info like out there clearly and on camera.
Yeah. And because it's Deaf Dog Awareness Week, please donate over to Natalie at Hot Mess Pooches. She needs it to keep those over 40 Dalmatians fed and to be able to adopt and save more puppies. And thank you so much for being here with us. Where can people follow you?
Okay, so we are on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Hot Mess Pooches Rescue and Sanctuary. You can also donate through Venmo at Hot Mess Pooches Rescue. You can see our Amazon wish list and other ways to donate on all of our social media. So like I said, Facebook, Instagram, we have a Twitter. I'm not super great with Twitter, but you can see our adoptable dogs. You can see what we're doing. We also have sanctuary dogs, so dogs that'll live out their entire lives with us. We go through about 40 to 45 pounds of dog food every single day. So if you can send us a bag of dog food off of our Amazon wish list, it would be appreciated. And you can also see our adoptable dogs. Not all of our dogs are deaf. Not all of our adoptable dogs are deaf. If you are interested in learning more about Dalmatians, the breed, or deaf dogs.
Are you done? You want people to, can you just help people donate? Can you donate? Donate. What do we
say?
Yeah.
Yay! Good job!
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for being with us today. We're so excited to learn more about you, about Hot Mess Pooches, and really about how awesome deaf dogs are and how anybody should try to maybe open their hearts to the idea of adopting one. So,
thank you. It was so nice meeting you. And I'm happy to help educate anyone. If anyone has any questions or anything like that, or you have a deaf dog and you're not sure how to train them or communicate with them, I'm always open to answering questions and doing what I can to help these dogs.
See, Charlie is so excited.
He's saying goodbye.